The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Claire.
And I'm Erica. We're the hosts of A Thing or Two. We are professional enthusiasts constantly on the hunt for the products, books, and trends that should be on your radar. And we share them with you every Monday, whether it's marinated olive oil that we're putting on everything, a deep dive on pillows, or the fact that suddenly gas stoves are on everyone's out list for 2023.
We challenge the friends we invite on the show to bring their own favorite thingies too. Like when Ellen Van Dusen spilled about the IG account that's keeping her current with the youths.
We also love a gift guide. We take listener questions, Dear Abby style, and tell you what to get your vegan minimalist coworker or your sister-in-law who loves to hunt.
So be sure to listen and follow A Thing or Two with Claire and Erica wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Real Pod. It's your host, Victoria Garrick Brown, and this is the podcast where we hold nothing back.
Oh, so we're getting deep, huh?
I really cried for 12 days straight.
Why do I want to be perfect? There's nothing in my life that is perfect.
Every week, I'll bring you honest, unfiltered, and eye-opening conversations to help uncover the real in all of us.
I crave the type of content that you're talking about.
I actually felt insecure.
Oh my God, am I going to cry?
Let me just unload everything.
New episodes every Wednesday. Leave those filters at the door because it's time to get real.
Hi, babe. Welcome back to the pod.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I feel like you've been a season regular.
This is number 6 or 7?
No. This is probably up past 10 now.
There's no way. There's no way. There's no way I'm double digits now.
Are you serious? You were 7 at the live show I did in LA over a year ago.
This is maybe 9 or so. I don't think I'm double digits, though.
I think you are.
I got to keep working. I got to execute on this episode and then get the double digit invite.
If someone's a super fan Real Pod listener, I would be really impressed if you counted and gave us the exact number. But this episode today came about because I recently recorded an episode with a really dramatic title. I've been struggling. Where I talk.
That got me to click in. I saw it on the, I was like, what's going on here?
You didn't listen to the episode though, did you?
I'm like 10 minutes in.
I know you, no. I'm not trying to like catch
I'm
you.
I'm dead serious. I'm 10 minutes in.
No, but I know you wanted to listen to it, yeah. But I think I told you, don't worry if, you know, because we have those conversations IRL. But my point is that episode about my struggles recently with body image and food came out and a lot of people really resonated with it, which was so great. But there was also just so much interest in the zoom in of how you supported me during that and kind of the two moments that I started crying about how great you are and how supportive and how much I love you.
Just for the record, so everyone's on the same page as me, I'm getting far too much credit for this. Far too much credit. I appreciate what you're saying. And we're obviously going to unpack how I got to this point or we got to this point. But just for the record, we're getting way too much hype over here.
I totally disagree. Max is just a humble king and never wants like credit for anything and never wants people to like praise him. So that's just like you coming through.
Because
you, I think, everything I said was 100% true. So that's why we're here today, to talk about our communication style and how we show up and support each other. So before we actually dive into the bulk, I do kind of want to close the loop on this, you know, eating disorder, recovery, struggling, I'm your wife conversation. How do you, as my husband, as a dude, like, how do you even think about it when I come to you and you know I've had these issues and you haven't had them yourself?
Yeah, I think from me early on, I mean, I go back to 2017, the first full year that we were dating, like that was the worst of it for you, from my perspective with the ED situation. Forgive me if that's not the right term. And I know even before we were dating, you were struggling with it, but I feel like I learned pretty quickly that this was something that was big. Like, we don't go there. We've talked about on the podcast before, like the Cliff Bar incident. That is the moment that really turned the page for me, where I thought I was being funny and I made a joke about a Cliff Bar and I knew right away that, you know, we're not going there anymore. And then as the years have gone on, like, it's been very clear to me that anytime this subject comes up, like, not only do I need to tread lightly, but I'm just more like there for support because I know it's a sensitive topic.
Something else happened that same night. I think it was like, for people who need to be caught up, basically Cliff Bars is a food that I like binge ate. So if you have foods that are like triggering for you, you just remember these dark times and then you don't like to eat them. So anyways, I made a joke about Clif Bars to Max after I had told him about my binge eating history. And then like a few weeks later, he saw Clif Bars and he made a joke. And long story short, it wasn't funny when he made the joke.
So and these jokes like little banter, like you can imagine behind the scenes, just like...
Ew, it was so lighthearted. It was so lighthearted and you were just being sweet and you saw me do something and so you did it too. And then I think it was that night we were having dinner at my apartment at USC and like you made some comment or joke about like how much food I had. I forget. Yeah. It was so lighthearted. It did not have any malintent, but I was hypersensitive. And then I think I ended up like crying and like going into my bed and like you had to like come and be like, you were so sorry.
That's right.
I think it was that whole day night that you were like, okay, like he's really
this
sensitive
is,
about
this.
This
is next level. Yeah. And I mean, it's lighthearted jokes, but even then, like I knew I had taken it a step too far because anything, at least from a guy's perspective, like, you know, that's a sensitive subject in general
right.
when you're talking about body image. And then from my perspective with you, knowing that you had those struggles beforehand, I felt like a dick, to be honest, like right away, like you say that comment, your reaction, I was like, man, I screwed up on that. So there's no hiding or like trying to justify it in your head.
But thinking about that very first like incident, if we'll call it, to the way that you showed up for me in Sun Valley is like night and day. And I remember when we were on vacation in Hawaii, when we recorded that video on the couch, like where I was playing you the episode for the first time and getting your reaction, you said to me the same thing. Oh, you're giving me too much credit. But then we were talking in the bathroom and I was like, no, I was like, I'm not. Like, think about how there were years in our relationship where I didn't feel like I could come to you about things because I didn't feel like you listened to me or heard me or showed up the way I needed you to. Like that moment was so much more than like, yes, I came to you and you're supportive. It was, oh my gosh, we have grown so much together in the way that we support each other that at this moment I needed Max, he fucking nailed it.
And that's how I viewed it too, of in the sense of from my perspective, that's not as much as me supporting your journey with the body image piece. What hit me, and we're talking, this is like what, 12:30 at night on vacation. What hit me was I didn't go into coach mode. I was just listening. And I think that's why I feel the need to say I'm getting too much credit because I'm literally not saying much at all. I'm literally just there and listening. And that to me has been the biggest turning point for us. You know, I naturally, being a sports guy, being a male, I always feel the need to, well, do this. Did you think about this? And I'm always like strategizing to how to solve the problem. And I have realized, like I think a lot of guys need to realize, in that initial stage, it's not problem solving mode. It's just listen and support.
But it is hard to like break out of the habits and the patterns of how we react. And I resonate in the sense that I'm a helper and I'm a fixer. And like, it is harder to just listen and to be there and to, you know, change the way that you would normally be. That's hard. You know, it sounds like on paper, it's easy to just sit there and listen. But like when you're actually really committed to like, okay, thinking, I'm just going to be present. I'm just going to hear what she's saying. I'm just going to be in this moment with her. Then the right things come out of your mouth and like it works.
I do not feel equipped to offer any insight or strategies at all, which then maybe hits in a certain way for me where I am able to listen better. And maybe that's a reminder for, you know, the guys listening that, hey, believe it or not, we don't have all the answers to every single thing. And for specifically with the body image one, that's certainly one of them.
Yeah. And that is actually something else we'll get into because we kind of sat down and thought really intentionally about our like Max and Vic guidelines, if you will, to help any couples out there with communications. So we will get into that closer to the end of the episode. But somewhere I wanted to start just going off of this story is that we really do have great communication. So after this first break, I want us both to share the two best things of the other person that we think contribute to that. We're going to take a quick break to talk about Element, which you know I am obsessed with. Element is one of today's sponsors and a longtime sponsor of Real Pod. Literally the other night, you probably saw on my IG story that Max and I were having a his and hers Element moment in our water bottles before bed. I usually will always take an Element though, either during or after a workout, because Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix. So when you're deficient in electrolytes, Element is the perfect solution. I've gotten to the point, I feel like, where I can tell that I'm deficient in electrolytes because I'm feeling achy, I have headaches, I'm fatigued, and the best thing I do for myself during those moments is to make sure I drink Element. It revives me and keeps all those electrolyte deficiency symptoms away. I pretty much always travel with the packs. I have like a big pouch in my purse where I put all of my packs. The best part is that Element is offering RealPod listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a friend or teammate. So if you visit drinkelement.com/realpod, you will receive a free sample pack with any purchase. This is a great way for you to try all the flavors. Look out for raspberry. That's my favorite. Look out for orange. That's Max's favorite. And then look out for citrus. Citrus is also sneaky good. This special deal is only available through my link, so make sure you check it out. It's drinkelement.com/realpod. That's drinkelement.com/realpod to receive a free sample pack with any purchase. Today's episode of RealPod is sponsored by Cozy Earth. I am obsessed with Cozy Earth. They have been our sheets and bedding for, I think, almost 3 years now. And one of my favorite claims to fame about Cozy Earth is that I literally slept in the Cozy Earth PJs the night of my wedding, and I gifted them to my bridesmaids. So I didn't do the whole silk robe thing because I was like, if you have felt, slept in, and worn the Cozy Earth pajamas, what more do you need in life? Truly. In addition to the PJs that I love so much, like I said, Max and I have been sleeping on the best-selling bamboo sheet set for 3 years now. They are temperature regulating and incredibly soft. When you open up your Cozy Earth sheets, I promise to the touch, you will feel these are cold, these are delicious, these are yummy, and I want to lay my whole body in these sheets. Max is also always saying that I get super hot at night, offensive, and I know a lot of people have trouble with feeling too hot or too cold when they're sleeping, so it's pretty life-changing to have these temperature-regulating sheets. Cozy Earth also offers an incredible 10-year warranty and promises a decade of restful sleep, which is great because Cozy Earth wants to make sure that you are happy. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for our listeners today. It's up to 40% off site-wide when you use the code REALPOD. Go to CozyEarth.com and enter code REALPOD, all caps, no spaces, for up to 40% off at checkout. So make sure you check that out at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth, CozyEarth.com, and use code REALPOD. Okay, so Max and I came up with the two biggest qualities of the other person that we think are the main reasons that we maintain great communication. And we don't know what the other person wrote. So
this will be good. I'll go first.
Okay.
This is going to sound basic, but it's big in that you pride yourself on communication. Communication is a priority for you, which forces you never let things fester. You never let things build up. And it's actually kind of a funny bit between us of like, The second we feel something's like there's an element of friction, you like pride yourself on addressing it right then and there versus I'm the type where I could probably go to bed and I'll address it later. I think that allows us to have those conversations and carve out that time and make it a priority and get on the same page. Like you always say, you pride yourself, like never go to bed in a disagreement kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The amount of times that we've been laying on our pillows and then a disagreement surfaces has been a lot over the past 7-8 years.
Totally, totally. But I think it's just like, there's never a right time. And I know, like, especially with Max, with all the work that you're juggling, if we're in bed and we're going to bed at 10:30 and then you hear me sigh, you know, because I'm like upset over
there.
It's
not even that loud. I get it's 100 times quieter than
and
that.
And your husby senses start tickling and you're like, what?
You gotta gear up.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, you know, it was just the way that.
Yeah, you know right away. And every guy listening too, you know when it's off, address it.
And you know what? It's not fun because then we're talking and we both wanted to go to bed and we wanted to wake up and we have big days tomorrow. But it's also not fun to then just go to sleep, not have a good night's sleep, wake up a little frustrated. Then we're at work and I'm not focused. So that's why I just like to like talk about things as they're happening. I will say though, and I don't want you to get upset with me because this is so little.
What you got?
But I feel like I've been better at trying to think about like, like what is best for not just me, but for you. And like, we went to my mom's birthday dinner a week ago and I like couldn't form an outfit. Like Ella was helping me. I finally got dressed ready. We're already running late. I'm like barely wrapping this gift. We're scribbling the card. We're rushing out the door. And then we sit in the car and I finally like get a chance to look at your outfit and like fully take it in. And it was a totally fine outfit.
Yo, you didn't, I knew you didn't like the fit. Cause I knew you didn't. Well, no, you finish. Because okay. I knew this walking into the restaurant. You guys all walked into a nice steakhouse, all black. They're literally the men and women in black.
No.
And I happen to have a bit more casual LA outfit.
There's just some basic rules of thumb, babe. Dark wash jeans at nighttime, light wash jeans during daytime. And you would look really cute if we were going to a 12 o'clock barbecue in someone's backyard. He's wearing a light wash jean, a white t-shirt, a blue flannel, and white sneakers. That's a daytime outfit.
All right, my side of this. I walk into a steakhouse looking, I am more casual. We live in Los Angeles. I'm wearing jeans. I'm wearing a collared shirt. I have a white shirt underneath, but that's a look nowadays. And I walk in, Vic, head to toe black.
My
sister-in-law, head to toe black. My mother-in-law, head to toe black. Jonathan was in a like brown button-up. And then George is just doing George, like looks like he's fresh off the, you know, the PGA tour with a pullover vest. And so I literally stick out like a sore thumb because you guys are all in black.
But you know me, I don't need you to wear black. And I hate when I wear black. Personally, when I wear black, just know I'm internally feeling like I personally failed. That to me is I gave up on my outfit and I feel like I failed. So I don't like it. But I just, to my point, we got in the car and I so badly wanted to be like, wait, can you go grab your Buck Mason jacket? Like, can you put on a dark change? And I just thought to myself, I looked at you and you were like smiling and you're all excited for dinner and you're playing. And I was like, he's happy. He doesn't even, like, it's not worth it. We're going to be late. Who cares, Victoria? And I didn't say anything. I didn't get annoyed. What I know this sounds so dumb, but I feel like people can relate. Like, so that is a small, small example of where, like, I do think like 2-3 years ago, I would have been like, why are you wearing, I would say something when you can't even fix it. Even today, we were trying to problem solve something for you in your life. And I made a comment of, like, you know, I hate to say this, but like, you know, this is something 3 weeks ago you should have gotten on top of and we wouldn't be here. I hate that I said that to you because there's nothing you can do. We're in this situation and I don't want to add more anxiety or stress to us solving it. That's something I should bite my tongue. And in a week, once the whole thing is solved and we've done the thing, I should say, by the way, babe, remember when we had that call and we were like stressed about planning? Next time we should do that ahead of time. Like there's a better time I can bring it up to you. So I'm always thinking of ways I can improve because that comment does nothing. It just compounds and makes you feel a little shittier that the situation we're in and you could have prevented it. But I don't need to tell you that in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm, to your point, I'm always thinking of ways how can we optimize here, you know?
And just for the record with that comment today, it's funny that stuck out in your head. I took that as, damn, she's right. I got to get my shit together. Like that's how I genuinely took it. And I know I was like, you know, dealing with some anxiety right there of juggling different hats, but that's how I took that. So however your delivery was, and maybe this is like the former athlete in me, I was very much, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is so stressful. It's very much like, dang, she's right. Yeah. I messed up on that.
And I definitely don't, I'm glad you felt that way because I never would have said it of like, are you kidding me, Max? I would never try to shit on you. But me just saying, ah, babe, like you could have caught this 3 weeks ago. Yeah, like no shit, Sherlock. Like I'm thinking I shouldn't have said that to you because now you're not only feeling, you know, not great that you're in the situation, but your wife just told you you could have not been here if you would have thought ahead of time, which you didn't. So we're here. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So I hate that I said that to you. And I was thinking in the car, I shouldn't have said that. So
thank you for saying that.
Of course. So I think this whole thing, you know, I was adding examples to your point.
I want to close the loop here. Just for the record, I knew you and LG, I love you. I knew the second she saw me, she hated the outfit. And so just for the record, I have the social awareness for that. But hey, the Garrick women are wired to not like tennis shoes at when the sun is down.
It was a daytime outfit. If you wore that during the day, if you wore that when we went to Waterfront with all of our friends a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have blinked twice. Great outfit. But it's not an evening Saturday night steakhouse outfit. Anyways, okay. I want to give you one now. So we'll rotate. Okay.
I got to post this clip and then post my outfit after.
Please.
And then have a little poll.
Please. No, we need everyone to vote. Okay. Also, my first one for you, securely attached. Both of us are, but I think you led the charge and I molded. we're securely attached. You especially, there's many types of attachments, but there's avoidant attachment, anxious attachment, secure attachment. And we're really secure. And you kind of set the tone on that early on. You know, we're not going to get jealous. Why would we ever assume, you know, a person would cheat or do something? We don't do that because we're so committed to each other. Like, you know, you don't anxiously text me, I haven't heard from you, I want to talk to you. Like, there's no neediness. We have like this really beautiful balance of like showing each other love, affection, and love every single day. And we beat to our own drums and we support each other. And I think we have such good communication because you led the charge in the secure attachment.
And you've said this before on a prior Real Pod episode, but that traces back. We were not always that way. When we first started dating those first 6 months, that was not the case. I remember we were doing long distance, which obviously it's a different factor, but I remember.
Which people want us to talk about a lot. A lot of the questions were like long distance communication. How did you survive? Just so you know.
And that dynamic, I remember it was like March. So we're like 3 months into long distance and I was wired every day. Wake up, like long good morning text. And I don't even know how I like came up with a new one every single day. But I got to morning, I was just like, I think I was like drained or whatever, and I forgot. And then you were like, where's my text or whatever? And then I kind of was like, all right, yo, this is a lot here. And I remember we had like a real argument for like a full day or two. And I was of the standpoint, like, I can't be dealing with this the whole time. Like, I appreciate that you want to like text and all that, but to me, this is excessive. And so as a result, like, it wasn't just brushed under the rug. It was like, no, I'm gonna argue here in a healthy way, but I'm gonna argue because I don't wanna be dealing with this for the rest of my life. I don't wanna set that standard.
Yeah.
Because I just thought it was excessive. I love you, but it was excessive.
And I agree with you. I didn't understand that at the time because I had high school relationships where that's what you did in high school. Oh my God, good morning, baby. I love you so much. I can't wait to see you at school. Can't wait to give you a kiss in the lunchroom. Like, I miss you so much. Like, that's how I texted guys I was dating when I was 16, 17. And now I'm 19, 20. And like, you're right. We outgrow that. Maybe that's just not healthy for us. And I think that you checked me in a really good way because you're like, hey, we don't need that. Like, we're both Division I athletes. We're both busy out of our minds. You know how valuable time is. I don't have 10 minutes in the morning to send you this long text. Me saying, hope you have a great day. Love you with a heart. That has to be, I quickly thought of you. I sent the text and then we're going to FaceTime later. But I think it is easy for people to be like, this is what I see in movies. This is what my friends, Rebecca and Johnny do. This is what, but you have to come up with what works for you as a couple. You know,
yep.
I think like it gets unhealthy when there's a lot of comparison or a lot of should. I have expectations. And then there comes the judgment. And then you start judging. And you've actually been really helpful with me when I begin to judge our relationship. We haven't done this enough. We don't go on enough vacations, just you and I together. And then Max will say, yeah, but we go on tons of trips all the time for work. The couples that go on these vacations, they don't have trips. This is their trip they go on together. You and I are always on flights. Why would we add another flight for us to go spend time together when that's not something we, Max and Vic, actually need? So a point here for people is like really finding your own rhythm with your partner and checking yourself that it's not versed in all of these external expectations on what you think it should be.
Totally. And I think in that lane is we don't text a lot. I think there's probably a lot of couples that if they saw how much we text, they're like, that's weird. They only text.
How little.
How little we text. But then the flip side is what works for us is I feel like we both have a gravitational pull that like at night we do like a 5 to 7 minute like debrief like every night, which
But
if we were texting all day, maybe we're not doing that. But like that works for us and that's our rhythm and that's sustainable and that's not, you know, daunting.
Totally. And then I'll go first for my second thing for you is I said, you're so good at diffusing things and taking blame and apologizing. And I feel like you just set such an example for me. And I feel like you're always the one to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You always say this. I'm not out to get you is like your line. You're like, I'm not out to get you. And then you'll say, I'm sorry. Like you are so quick to that. And as a very prideful, stubborn Taurus, you do that enough year after year after year. Like I admire that and I want to be the same way. And I want to say, you know, I'm sorry. And actually Max and I had a little riff about something earlier this week. And I, in the discussion, was able to check myself and say, totally like, this is not that big of a deal. Like, you really did nothing wrong. I'm still harboring sensitivity from past situations that were similar, and that's on me. But I'm just letting you know, that's why I was sensitive about this thing.
That's funny, because that reaction is what my next point's going to be about you. My mindset with all this stuff is like, if people were judging our arguments, I'm pretty sure I lose like 90% of the arguments. If you were like a boxing judge, like, ooh, who had the better right jab and the left hook and all that. But my mindset is, you know, I'm not out to win the argument. I'm out to not be in this scenario again and progress moving forward. And there's a big misconception, in my opinion, of that being the happy wife, happy life mindset, which I hate that quote. I think it's the worst ever, because happy wife, happy life, the subtle undertone of that is, oh, whatever my wife says goes, and I'm just going to brush everything under the rug, and like, I'm not sticking up for myself. Like, that's the subtle undertone of it. No, for me, when I approach the arguments, it's, we're having an argument for a reason, and I'm going to say what I think is right and, you know, truthful. But I'm not here, I'm not trying to one-up you. I'm not trying to like show you up. I'm not trying to, because of my pride, like get the last comment in or the last jab in. Like, as long as we have an understanding of where we're both coming from and ideally come to one solution. But that example you're talking about, we still kind of disagree, but we're meeting in the middle of like, hey, moving forward, here's how we're going to approach the situation. Looking back, there might be some disagreements, but moving forward, you know, coming together rather than, oh, I showed him and, yeah, you know, I got the upper hand.
And that was something that someone had asked. We have some questions here. It was like, how do you work through something when you just disagree? And to your point about this example, and sorry, everyone, that we can't give nitty gritty details. Unfortunately, we can't. But you did say, you were like, okay, like, I disagree. And I was like, I get that. But it's going to need to be this way for me to feel like we have top tier trust, or for me to feel like we have, you know, top tier alliance against the world as husband and wife. And there have been times where you told me something in confidence and I went and told my mom, yep, yep, yep. And then you found out later and you were like, you told this to your mom? And I was like, yeah. And then I remember kind of, you know, minimizing your feelings by being like, it's not that big of a deal. Why do you care that I told her? It's not that big of a deal. But Victoria, that's not the point. He's your husband and he told you something, and you don't get the right to just determine if it is a big deal or not, because it's his deal. Oh. You know? And so I think there are times where, yeah, we would maybe disagree if we were in the other person's shoes, but we respect each other and we love each other and we care about each other's feelings. So whether I disagree or not, there has to be some give. And like, you know, that situation I'm referring to, you're in the right. And I don't get permission to just tell your secrets, because if roles were reversed to me, I would view it differently. I have to do what you need. And then in this other situation, you disagree, but you see where I'm coming from, and you're going to accommodate me. So it's give and take.
And that first scenario with your mom, that was a sensitive subject to me. So I think naturally you downgraded and were like, okay, I see where you're coming from. And then this scenario we're talking about from this morning, that's not as emotional for me. It was more emotionally sensitive for you. Like, I don't, it's not a big deal for mm-hmm. me. And so I'm like, all right, this is obviously a sensitive or a more sensitive subject for Vic. Like, I can adjust my behavior and how I'm approaching the situation because it's a bigger deal for you, versus I feel like the example you were talking about before was flip-flopped. It was a sensitive deal for me, and then you met me in the middle, so to speak.
Right. We do some deep mental work. I'm just listening to us talk about yeah. this. I'm grateful. I want to get into that. Before we do, give me my last compliment.
It's right there. You're always striving for self-growth, self-improvement, and that carries over into arguments. I would say you used to be more like this early on, but especially ever since you started reading Eckhart Tolle.
Everyone?
It's changed.
Please, you need to read A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle and listen to Aubrey and I's So Much to Say limited series. It's right in the Real Pod feed. Life-changing. Max never had an ego, and I did some serious fucking work on mine. And so now we've met in this great place.
That's not true. But no, I have noticed in the past 18 months where when we're in an argument, you never say statements like, I can't do that. Oh, I just won't do that. I just can't go there. Or that's just not how I am. Or like, I just can't fathom that. Like, there's no fixed mindset. And every time we're having an argument, I appreciate that you're trying to find where you can take responsibility. You're trying to find where you can grow and improve, and observing other people's relationships and issues. I think a lot of it stems from the fixed mindset of like, we're just not going there. I just can't do that. That's just too much. Well, that's maybe why you're in that scenario in the first place. That internal drive for self-growth and exploring that and going there with yourself, it's so clutch in terms of trying to find middle ground with you.
I think that is also just two places we're really lucky is one, like we're both people who go to therapy and we're both super into mental work and being the best we can be. And that includes the way we talk to each other, the way we love each other, the way we think about ourselves. I feel like I'm always leaving situations now thinking, how could I have handled that better? And I used to be like, no, that person put me in that situation. And like, you know, like I would come more with that energy. And now I'm like, even if someone wrongs me, I choose how I can handle that. And that I think has been really powerful for me in like all my relationships. One of the questions I want us to talk about is, you know, we did long distance for 3 years. We've been with each other for some different phases of life. You've lived in so many different cities. You went to two different colleges. You've had so many different jobs. You know, I built my business and like lived at home. And then now I'm here. I mean, we've had a lot of ups and downs in our lives together. Fortunately, we've just turned out to be really similar.
Yeah.
We've literally just turned out to be very similar. And that works in our favor. I think there's people who meet young and they grow up and they realize that they're different people. We really have, I feel like, gone and stayed on the same trajectory, which I'm so grateful because I love you and I don't want to do life with anyone but you. So I'm thrilled about that. But what are your thoughts on like how we got through the long distance phase and all the ups and downs and changes in our lives to still be here?
I think to echo what you just said, I think from the jump, our North Star has been pretty comparable in that, you know, we value family, value friends. We probably put more of an emphasis on career, which is not always a positive. I think, you know, there's certainly downsides to that. There's you're sacrificing something for every hour that you invest in your career. But I say that through the context of, you know, when I moved to New York or even Pittsburgh for football, or when I pivot jobs at 25 and then again at 26, like those moves were very career oriented. And I think we were on the same page with that, which went a long way. But I also like, I knew from the jump that I was like, yo, I want to be with this girl. And so, you know, I'd be lying if that didn't, that's a huge factor of like, you know, you kind of find a way to figure it out. And right when this topic comes up, I'm always like, you know, if you are someone that's struggling with long distance, like really heavily, I think that's one reason we didn't struggle with it necessarily, because we knew that like, hey, at some point deep down in our bones, all paths are going to get back on the same track.
Yeah.
And that was super helpful.
Yeah. Today's episode is sponsored by AG1. I just love AG1. I cannot say enough. And you know what? Max and I, 2 years ago, gifted AG1 to our sister-in-law. And I also gave my dad AG1 and my older brother AG1 and Max's brother. So we've done a lot of AG1 gifting because we love it. And we know it's going to make such a big impact into everyone's morning and daily routines. So don't sleep on AG1 as a good gift, okay? Even for yourself. Now look, AG1 is my favorite because it's a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. And since 2010, okay, that's a long time, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition. They're continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. The key word, baseline health, it doesn't matter what your exercise routine is, what your eating routine is, what you look like. AG1 is for everybody and it elevates your baseline health. It is that thing that I take in the morning. It is so, so good for me. It has so many important nutrients. AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide my body with the support it needs. And that's why I've been a partner with AG1 for so long. If you want to try, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/realpod. That's drinkag1.com/realpod. Check it out. We're going to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Nike. Nike has previously sponsored some of my favorite fitness-inspired RealPod episodes on mindfulness, working out as a former athlete, and loving movement. Definitely check those episodes out. I really loved them. And today, I'm excited to talk about the Nike Indie Bra and the Nike Universa Leggings. The Indie Bra and Universa Leggings are perfect for any type of movement. And I truly mean any type of movement, like squats, running, yoga, hot girl walk, whatever your heart desires. I wore them the other day when Max and I walked to a cute little coffee shop. So it was casual. We're in the neighborhood. And then I kept them on and I threw on my indie bra for a workout class. The Universal leggings can truly be worn all the time, no matter what type of physical activity you're up to. They're also like really soft and comfortable. It's due to the InfiniSmooth fabric they use. You can feel it from the first touch. And not only are the leggings amazing, but like I said, the indie bra, which by the way, now comes in low, medium, and high support, is so great. I always choose high support because when I'm working out, I want my girls frozen, okay? No moving at all. And the indie bra keeps everything secure. But the best part is that you can customize it to whatever type of support you need. Like I said, it comes in low, medium, and high support, which we love to see. Together, they make the perfect set. Go to Nike.com to shop the Universal leggings and indie bra today. That's Nike.com, Nike.com to shop the Universal leggings and indie bra. Enjoy.
Once we got to that point of like, we love each other and being really open about our feelings towards each other, we just never wanted our relationship to end. So it was like, we are going to work through this. And I think, yeah.
I think it was good, like push and pull too. Like when I'm moving to Pittsburgh or moving to New York, you gave me space because you knew that like those were moves that I needed to make for myself to explore, you know, who I was and figure out, you know, what my, you know, football was in one respect. But even the New York move was bigger than just work. It was kind of, you know, figuring out who I am in this new phase of life. And then the flip side as well, when I'm back at LA, like me giving you space as you're building your career, or, you know, some of the anxiety, depression struggles that you went through, and like, yeah, knowing that then pass me the ball. That's the analogy you always use. Like sometimes you're passing me the ball and I'm carrying the burden. And then other times I'm passing you the ball in a different phase of life. And you're kind of carrying that more for me.
And speaking of showing up for each other, this is something that I've talked about on Instagram, but not on the podcast yet. And I would just be curious your thoughts. I do feel like in the beginning of our relationship, it leaned really heavily towards my emotions and my feelings and my needs. And I kind of had that similar approach of, well, he's a guy. And if he doesn't say he's sad, he's not sad. And I kind of took it at face value. And I was like, Max is always happy. Max is always positive. And, you know, the longer our relationship has gone on, and I literally hate the way it sounds because I sound like a selfish bitch. But I remember the therapy session where I had the unlock of like, Max has needs. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was just like, I know that sounds so dumb, but this is, you know what? This is the real part about having relationships though. We have blind spots. I think, well, I don't think I was being necessarily selfish. I do think I was very like, let me come to you with all my problems and you help me with them. And you just naturally weren't as open, as vulnerable. So I thought, oh, if he's not just walking over with his problems to me, he must not have any, which is so silly and ignorant. And now I know how to be a better partner for you by asking you more specific questions. How are your anxiety levels this week? What happened today at work with so-and-so? And then really looking at you phone down and being like, Max, this is your time. And I feel like we've had such a blossom in like your feelings and your needs, and the relationship has become balanced.
And there's no way we're alone in that too. I think that's a male-female complex too, where the female's naturally more talkative. Obviously, I'm talking in huge generalizations here, but then the guy, much more closed off. He's not going to outwardly say, hey, I'm struggling with this, because that's how many of us are wired. And so I think there's probably a lot of people listening that have that type of complex where, you know, it's oftentimes from an emotional standpoint, the guy maybe, you know, always supporting the girl in that dynamic. And I appreciate, like, you're talking about those questions you ask. I'm not wired to like sit down at the dinner table and just brain dump all my thoughts and stressors and anxieties, you know, all those things. Like you do have to work a little bit to get it out of me, but I can sense it when you on your face, like when you do right, ask the right question and then I go for like 5 minutes. That's how you're like, yeah, exactly. Your face right in front of me right now is,
well,
like, yep.
I try not to be smiling when it's happening because you're telling me stuff that's like,
I can,
you know,
tell.
Not
I can
great,
tell.
But I am happy that you're going, and I'm just like, because, you know, you're just, you need an outlet. You need to
talk.
And
Vic always does this thing of, do you need to cry? I'm like, no, I don't need to cry. She always does it. Where did that come from?
My
you
favorite,
always like,
Because
do you need to cry? I'm like, no, I don't need to cry. Wait, and then I'm like, whoa, what?
I say it better than that. I usually rub your shoulder and I say, do you need to cry?
Yeah, I'm like, no.
Because I want you to know that you can start breaking down crying in front of
but
me.
But where does that come from?
It comes from me knowing that you're a human and I'm a human and humans cry. And if I haven't seen you cry in a pretty long time, you probably do. And I want you to know you can do it.
I'm not like Mr. Macho guy. Like, if I cry, I cry. But it is funny. It's like, do you need to cry? I'm like, no, I don't need to cry. We're good.
Okay. It's because I guess like I never want you to think like, oh, I'm about to cry and I don't want you to think this is silly.
I can promise you, I have never once thought that if I cry, my wife will think it's silly.
Okay, good.
I know that you get off to that thing. So that is not in the cards for me.
I love when you get to feel your emotions.
You do it for everyone too.
I know.
I think he just needs to cry. I was like, he might need to cry, but he also might not need to cry. That also can exist.
Okay. Well, I guess to that whole point, you know, it is really important that both of you equally have space in the relationship. You have needs. I do want to dive into some more questions we have here. Actually, this one's funny. It says, how why does Max have such a high EQ? He's a man.
Bro.
I got lucky.
Why do I have such a high EQ? Shout out Mike and Cheryl. I'm very much a people pleaser. I have been my entire life. And I think when you are a people pleaser and you want to make people happy and you want to get people on your side, that allows me to, I feel like, read people pretty well, but not even like a read people thing. It's more of just, here's the North Star. Here's what we're trying to get to. What is the most efficient path to get there? All right, if I need to put my ego aside and wear one on the chin, figuratively, to start to then get there more efficiently. Like, that's kind of how I view a lot of the situations in life. Like, I have no problem taking the backseat when needed if that's going to accomplish whatever the goal is. And if I need to step in and be the leader and say something and put my neck out there, I also think I have the capability to do that for the same mindset.
Which I've learned so much from you. You are my go-to person when I'm in a conflict and I need to know how to write the email, send the text, talk on the phone call. Which I think is so special because we've grown so much in that way. Like, to say, like, I'm bummed, I don't feel like you're my go-to and I want you to be. And we have done a lot of work so that, like, literally, I can't send a text in a difficult situation if you haven't proofread it and adjusted it and deleted half of it because you're like, babe, calm down.
It might be a football thing too. Like, in football, you have 22 dudes. If you want to win the championship, you need to make sure the defensive tackle who his dad's forcing him to play and he would quit tomorrow if it wasn't for his dad, you need to motivate that guy just like I need to be able to call out my best friend when he's slacking because we all want the same goal. Like, that's a huge range and like different backgrounds, especially in the locker room of like where people are coming from and all that. I think that the upbringing of football being front of mind for me for so much of my life's not insignificant.
You weren't captain of every team you ever played on for nothing.
Trying to
see, look, he hates it. He's like,
what do you want me to say? Like, yeah, it's sick. No,
it is sick. Anyways, we are like getting close on time, so I just want us to go over our guidelines because I think they're really important. And Max and I worked hard on these so that we could give you some tangible takeaways to walk away with from this episode. Hopefully, you're gonna have better communication and a few less problems. So, first thing, never yell and never swear.
You set that standard. I will say, though, not only is there the swearing and whatnot, but I also think just the effective way to communicate in general is nothing past, when you're arguing, is nothing past a five in general.
That's obviously Max's level five. He's big on his levels of tone. Give me an example of a level five.
The refrigerator was open. That's a five.
I think we sometimes get to, the refrigerator was open.
That might happen naturally because we're all human, but I don't think that's a successful...
True.
That tone, you're not getting anywhere.
So true.
And so naturally, you got level four. Right,
okay,
down.
So our first guideline, never yell and never swear. Like, that will just help so much. Two, approach arguments as a team. It's a big thing. We're working together to solve something. We're allies, and it's never like trying to beat up on the other person and make them feel really bad. We don't want to do that.
There's no, it shouldn't be a winner and a loser out of the argument. It should be walking together towards hopefully not having that argument again.
Totally. Three, the best thing I think people can take into being able to show up and support people, asking the person, do you want me to listen or do you want advice? basically comfort versus solutions. There's a big difference. And I think a lot of our disconnect was Max was coming with advice. And all I wanted was him to hug me, rub my back, give me a kiss and say, I'm so sorry. That sucks.
That took me like 6 years in our relationship to learn. We had so many fights where I took the, I have the solution type of mindset, and not in like a arrogant way, but I struggled to sit there and truly listen. And I don't know if you notice this now, but I feel like I'm kind of like trained now to be like, when you get going on your whatever you're working through, I'll like the first comment every single time is, can I give you advice or you want me to just listen?
Yeah.
Can I give you advice? And it's like a little program thing.
It's so game changing. And sometimes I'll be like, yeah, no, I need your help. How do I solve this? And sometimes I'll be like, no, like I know what the right thing to do is. I'm just like offloading my irritation right now. And I just need someone to like hear me. That is game changing. I had someone actually message me and say like that advice from us has been like game changing for the relationship, which I love to hear. Okay, the next one. Take break time during fights so you don't have to solve everything on the spot. Max mentioned a little earlier in this episode that we don't like to go to bed angry. That's true. We go to bed with a kiss and a hug. We never go to bed like physically irritated with each other. But there have been times where we say like, we're not getting anywhere. We're tired. I think we need to sleep on this. I'm going to go run an errand. I'm going to go on a walk. And then when I come back, we can finish the conversation because I think everyone needs time to pull off. Totally.
And it always comes down to scenarios where we're just going in circles and we're saying the same thing. And speaking of those on the pillow conversations, if it's late at night and you are continuing to go in circles, it's like, all right, we'll figure this out tomorrow with each other.
And I find that when we take breaks, people say this with an email. If you sleep on it and send the email the next day, the email you would have fired off 5 minutes when you received the email that pissed you off is so different than the email you would send the next day at 2 p.m. when you've slept, woken up, calmed down, thought about everyone's side. Like, I just think time is powerful. And I feel like it always has me coming back more compassionate to the other person's side of the situation. And then I said, maintain high self-awareness. That's just a big thing for us. We're super self-aware of like, how we contributed, our fault, our flaws, where we can grow. Like if we're coming on too strong or intense, like self-awareness is key. And then this one I kind of threw on because it's one of Vic's guidelines for life. Always a second chance, never a third.
Can you say always a second chance, never a third without like the little shoulder shimmy?
Yeah, yes. You think I say everything like this.
Yeah, no, only
and
that.
I don't.
Only a second chance, never a third.
No.
The other one is, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Yes. That's their other go-to. That just, all right,
someone
barf.
Did ask, barf. So Max hates any sort of like egoic sass. Someone asked me if we had talked about our previous dating history and like stuff like that. And actually, you guys, go to my relationship Q&A I did by myself. I talked about how Max and I didn't go down our previous history of things because that's just what works best for us. But so that's to Max's point of what he doesn't know won't hurt him. And I believe the same. What I don't know won't hurt me. There are things about your past I don't want to know. I don't want to know. It's like the Taylor Swift song when she's like, I pictured you with other girls in love and threw up on the street.
All right.
Iconic.
Okay, nice.
You should know that song, Max. Okay.
I'll go study.
So anyways, always a second chance, never a third. And then the last one is the book 8 Dates. I think that was really helpful for us. If anyone like loved this episode of the podcast and is craving more of it, there's a book called 8 Dates. It's written by 2 psychologists who are married. You can find it on Amazon.
It's so good.
It's so good. You go on 8 dates. You talk about family, finances, romance, career, life. Max and I did this book during COVID and we loved it.
And it was great too, because I think at the time we thought we were a couple that had talked about those things. We were very open and had no problem going to the uncomfortable topics of money and religion and whatnot. But the book flushed out a whole nother level that it brought about fights for us. But I think it was healthy because you do it in a way where no one is like really hot. No one's really emotional because it's the book that's facilitating these.
Yeah.
And I think you're able to what we just talked about, talk about those at like a level 4 rather than at a level 8 when money or religion or topics like that can really get to that point.
Yeah.
And I would highly recommend that for any couple.
Also, one more thing I want to add is one of my favorite parts of the book that Max like doesn't always do because he gets all like self-conscious. You know what it is.
The 3-second kisses thing?
Yes.
Oh, God.
The part of this book said like when you...
I'm getting uncomfortable right now.
I know.
She wants me to walk into the room no matter who is there and just 3-second kisses all the time. And that's just like, I appreciate it. I love you.
There doesn't have to be tongue.
That's even weirder low key. That's even weirder low key. Like if you're going to give him a show, give him a show. but a 3 second just straight peck. Like, do I keep my eyes open? Do I close them? Am I going like, I can't do eyes open 3 second. No.
The book said like that when you enter a room and you see your partner for the first time, and when you leave a room to have a 3 second kiss. And I remember he said something like the type of kiss that will like would maybe make someone else in the room blush a little bit because like you're having the
kiss. Appreciate where they're coming from. 3 seconds is a long time.
How about we just tongue? Yeah. We just walk up with our tongues out. We just do a lick.
I mean, that's how you know you're a Brown. I've taught you well. You would have never said that on air 3 years ago.
So true. Anyways, the book has really cool stuff like that where it just talks about ways. I feel like we do, whether it's the 3 second kiss or not, I think we are always hugging, kissing on the cheek, and like we have the affection, and that is great. Anyways, I'm off topic now, I thought this was great, babe. Thank
3
you.
3 second kisses.
But I can't wait to get off air and have a 3 second kiss.
Can't wait.
Love
I'm ready. Love you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Pod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of Real Pod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with Real Pod throughout the week, seeing behind the scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.